On December 31st, 1966, Paul McCartney tells the New Music Express, "Our whole outlook on life is changing, because our circumstances have changed our surroundings." On January 21st, 1967, NEMS Enterprises amalgamates with the Robert Stigwood Group, bringing together The Who, Cream, The Mercies, and Crispy and St. Peter's, though Epstein says he'll continue to be personally responsible for The Beatles and Cilla Black. On February 6th, EMI announces that The Beatles have signed a new 9-year recording contract. On February 17th, 1967, Parlophone releases The Beatles' 14th single, Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields Forever, with the first 250,000 copies in a specially printed sleeve. Both tracks represent the first signs of definitive English progressive rock. The two songs, however, were not meant as singles.
We went into the studio just before Christmas and recorded Strawberry Fields and When I'm 64 and Penny Lane, all round about the same time. And this was the beginning of the new album. And when we wanted to issue a single, Brian came and said, "Well, you know, we've got to put one out because it's time for one." I said, "Well, I really wanted this for the album." I said, "Well, we've got to have something."
The subject matter of both sides was Liverpool. Strawberry Fields, written by John, is a Salvation Army orphanage that was near Aunt Mimi's house. John Lennon's father, Fred, had stayed there as a boy. There were lots of trees and places to play. Young John would go to garden parties there and always had a good time. Those images came out through the surreal lyrics, the hypnotic singing, and the superb arrangement by George Martin. There were actually two versions done, and both were put together to make the final piece.
With Strawberry Fields, we did two recordings of this. The first time, we made a record with just the boys themselves, and it worked out pretty well, I thought, anyway. And John went away and listened to the lacquers that we cut of it. And he came back to me and said, "George," he said, "I don't think it's really what I had in mind when I first wrote it." And I had to admit, I said, "Well, you know, honestly, John, it has worked out rather heavier than I first thought when you sat and played it to me on an acoustic guitar. I thought it was going to be a little more flowing than it has been." He said, "Well, that's the point." He said, "I want to make it a little more smooth. Can you do a score for me and we'll do a new record?" So I scored it for some cellos and for some trumpets and various things. And we made another record of Strawberry Fields Forever. And he went to Anderson for that. And he said, "It's very much better. I like it much better. But it's still not right. There's a lot in the original recording that's really better than this one. It's a pity we can't have the two together." He said, "If we could take the beginning of one and the end of another, that'd be great." So I listened to them both. And I said, "Well, there's only one thing, John. To begin with, they're completely different tempos. And they're in two different keys. Apart from that, it'd be very easy to cut them together." So he looked at me and smiled and he said, "Well, I'm sure you can fix it." And, of course, this is a terrible challenge. Well, by the grace of God and a bit of luck, I found out that by reducing the speed of one of the recordings and by speeding up the other, the tempo change accounted for the intonation change of half tone. So, in fact, I did cut the two recordings together. And the record you hear today is two separate recordings in two different keys, edited together.